We learned in our Gemara about the concept of Ein Muktam U'Me'ucha B'Torah. So things are sometimes out of place, and not necessarily do they correspond to the actual sequence of events as they took place. A case in point, as presented in our Gemara, is Sefer Bamidbar, which begins by describing the counting of Klal Yisrael and their arrangement around the Mishkan, each one according to his own shevet, his own flag. And not only later, in Sefer Bamidbar, all the way down in Parshas Baal Loischa, does the Pasuk describe the Korban Pesach, which actually preceded the counting, because Pesach took place in Nisan, and the counting only in Iyar, in Muktam Mu'ucha B'Torah. So now the question arises, fine, Torah is not particular about arranging things in proper order, but is there any reason, is there any way to understand why, for instance, in this particular case, the Torah decided to rearrange things? So actually, the Ramban provides an answer. He says, yeah, because the Torah first wanted to properly describe the Seder of Klal Yisrael on the Midbar, the way they camped around the Mishkan, each one in his own shevet, according to his own flag. So once we have the full picture of the Seder of Klal Yisrael on the Midbar, then the Torah proceeds to describe what actually took place, what were the mitzvahs that they did. And one of them was Korban Pesach. So first, the description of the counting and the encampment, and then, only then, later on, do we see the description of the Pesach and the Korban Pesach. Now, how do we understand this concept of Ein Muktam U'Me'ucha B'Torah? Things are out of place, out of order. Why? What would be the reason for this? So Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz brings an astounding Medrash Tanchum, which says like this. Because otherwise, if things would be right in order, Al Pi Seder, any person, even an unqualified person, can approach Torah, sit down and learn the Torah which is sequenced properly, and gives them the full access to the immense and intense powers of spiritual powers of Torah, and would endow him with the power and ability to go create and destroy B'machayim Meisim. The Torah wanted to prevent that from happening, and therefore rearrange the Torah out of order, so that only the truly qualified person can figure things out, can plumb the depths of Torah and discover the true secrets of the Torah, which is an expression of Hashem's godliness in this world, and will really endow this tzaddik with the true powers, the immense spiritual powers of the Torah. Let's proceed with the Gemara that tells us about Bittel. So after Bedika, we do Bittel on the Chametz. The Gemara tells us, when do we do Bittel? At night, right after the Bedika, because we need a specified, defined moment to ensure that people remember to do Bittel. Now the Rush in Siman Tes brings the name of Rashi, that actually the minhag is to do Bittel Erev Pesach as well, and the reason is threefold. Firstly, to cover something which he may have purchased after the Bittel of last night. Number two, because when he takes some food for his meal, he's actually being zoiche, he's acquiring that food and nullifying the Bittel. So when he had some chametz after the Bittel, by picking it up, he was zoiche in it. So any remnants is not included in the Bittel. And number three, because initially, the Bittel never was meant to include the chametz which he intended on eating afterwards. So for these three reasons, we must go ahead and do Bittel on Erev Pesach. And the Torah brings down, of course, he should still do Bittel the previous night. So this doesn't substitute for the night Bittel. And the reason, again, is because we want to have a defined, designated moment for Bittel to ensure that a person doesn't forget altogether about the concept of Bittel. Now, how does one do Bittel? So the interesting lashon in Rashi, Dibra Masla, Boidik Tzorach Shivatel. So Rashi says, Tzorach Shivata Baliboy, in his heart. Samach L'Bedika Miyad, immediately following the Bedika, Ve'oimer, and he says, Kol Chamira, Di'ika Be'beis Ha'adein, Li'batel. Anything, any chametz which is in this home, should become batel. So Rashi begins by saying, Tzorach Shivata Baliboy, indicating that it's done in his heart, without expression, without verbalizing it, and then concludes by saying, this fellow gets up and he makes that statement, Ve'oimer. So which one is it? Does he need to verbalize it, or is bittul b'lev enough? Which way does it go? So some Farshim explain like this. Of course, he needs to actually express it. So why does Rashi begin by saying Tzor Shivata Balibay? Because by doing Bedikas Chametz, that serves as an indicator that he's truly wholeheartedly disengaging from that Chametz. Look, he's looking for it. He's trying to get out of his house and burn it. That's an expression of a true lack of interest in the Chametz. So then, only then, can he proceed to do Bittul, because we're not really so confident. When a person just gets up and does Bittul, that it's being done wholeheartedly. It's really an expression of his true feeling and true attitude. Therefore, we have to wait for the Bedik, after the Bedika. Now we know. Look, he's trying to get rid of his Chametz. Now we see. He's demonstrating that he's really not interested in his Chametz. So that indicates proper attitude. Tzorach Shivata Balibay. So in his heart, he's already negated the Chametz. And now, that paves the way, sets the stage for the subsequent Bittul, which certainly needs to be done with a pet. But now we know that the verbal expression truly represents his wholehearted disengagement from the Chametz. So technically, you need Amira. But only after the Bedikah, which indicates Bittul Belev, can we be certain that his verbal expressions of Bittul are a true reflection of his disinterest in the Chametz. Now, if that's the case, why can't he just be Mevatel Belev? Why does he need Amira? Some versions say because we know that Dvarim Shebelev Einem Dvarim, just thinking and feeling, that doesn't have legal weight. It's not legally binding. That's why an Amira is required, a true verbal expression which is Dvarim, and that indeed provides Bittul. There's another pshat, interesting pshat I saw, that the Menachem Eshev Nefesh, he says like this, the reason why Amira is required, he says technically perhaps Bittul Belev will be enough, but let's say he does Bittul Belev and then afterwards he finds this nice looking Chametz, and perhaps for a split second he'll regret that he did Bittul. So now he has a Machshava which negates, undoes the earlier Machshava of Bittul. So its current Machshava will undo the previous Machshava, because it was only a Machshava that he had initially. He didn't express it. That's why we require Bittul to be done by Amira. Say it out, Dvarim. That carries more weight, and that will ensure that even perhaps if he finds Chametz, and for a split second he'll regret, let's say, that he was Mevatel Chametz, it doesn't matter. It won't harm anything because he already had an Amira, which is more powerful, more effective than just Machshava. So even if he has a Machshava now, look, I feel bad, I regret that I did Bittul, well, it won't do anything. Because the initial Amira of Bittul overrides the Machshava, and the Bittul remains intact.